This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of MCL knee injuries from the knee and sports section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. A medial collateral ligament or MCL knee injury is a traumatic knee injury that typically occurs as a result of sudden valgus force to the lateral aspect of the knee. Diagnosis can be suspected with increased valgus laxity on physical exam, but requires MRI for confirmation. Treatment is generally non-operative with bracing. Surgical management may be indicated for high-grade injuries in the setting of persistent valgus instability. Now let's get into the episode. Starting with epidemiology, as far as incidence, MCL knee injuries are the most common ligamentous injury of the knee and make up 40% of knee ligament injuries. The incidence is likely higher than reported, as low-grade injuries can be missed. As far as the demographics, males are more commonly affected than females, and MCL knee injuries commonly occur in athletes and account for 8% of all athletic knee injuries. There is the highest risk in skiing, rugby, football, soccer, and ice hockey. Moving on to etiology, as far as pathophysiology, valgus stress is the most common mechanism of injury and usually occurs with the knee held in slight flexion and external rotation. Another etiology can be contact injury, which is more common than non-contact injuries. This includes a direct blow to the lateral knee with valgus force. These more often result in high-grade / complete ligament disruption than non-contact injury. Rupture usually occurs at the femoral insertion of the MCL. Remember that proximal MCL tears have greater healing rates, while distal MCL tears have inferior healing and residual valgus laxity. Finally, another etiology of MCL knee injuries includes non-contact injury, which is less common than contact but more common in skiing. Examples include pivoting or cutting activities with valgus and external rotation force. Non-contact injuries more often result in low-grade / incomplete ligament injury. Associated conditions with MCL knee injuries include anterior cruciate ligament or ACL tears, meniscus tears, and Pellegrini Staita syndrome. So an ACL tear is the most common associated injury with an MCL injury and make up approximately 95% of injuries associated with non-isolated MCL injury. Combined ACL-MCL injuries are the most common multiligamentous knee injury. The presence of a hemarthrosis is highly suggestive of an ACL tear. And keep in mind that ACL tears are often associated with high-grade MCL tears. Grade 3 is more common than grade 2, and grade 2 is more common than grade 1 in the setting of an ACL tear. As far as meniscus tears in the setting of an MCL injury, medial meniscal tears are more common than lateral meniscus tears in this setting. Up to 5% of isolated MCL injuries are associated with meniscus tears. Finally, in terms of Pellegrini Staita syndrome, this refers to calcification at the medial femoral insertion site and results from chronic MCL deficiency. Now, let's go over some relevant anatomy. Specifically, we'll go over the superficial MCL and the deep MCL, vascular supply, and function of the MCL. To learn more about the other ligaments of the knee, be sure to listen to the podcast episode about ligaments of the knee, or review the topic on orthobullets.com or the Bullets app. So starting with the anatomy of the superficial MCL, this is located in layer 2 of the medial knee with the posteromedial corner ligaments and medial patellofemoral ligament. The femoral attachment of the superficial MCL is the medial epicondyle, which is 1 cm anterior and distal to the adductor tubercle. The tibial attachment is the proximal tibia periosteum. This is 4.5 centimeters distal to the joint line, and it's deep and posterior to the pes anserinus. Finally, the deep MCL is located in layer 3 of the medial knee, along with the joint capsule. The deep MCL is composed of the meniscofemoral and meniscotibial ligaments. The vascular supply to the MCL comes from the superior medial and inferior medial geniculate arteries. Now, let's talk about the function of the MCL. So the superficial MCL is the primary stabilizer to valgus stress at all angles of knee flexion. And remember that the greatest stability contribution is at 25 degrees of knee flexion. Specifically, it makes up 78% of the stability. The superficial MCL is also a secondary stabilizer to tibial external rotation and anterior / posterior tibial translation. The deep MCL is the secondary stabilizer to valgus stress and has the greatest stability contribution at full knee extension. Other stabilizers of the medial knee include certain static stabilizers and certain dynamic stabilizers. Static stabilizers include the posterior oblique ligament, oblique popliteal ligament, and posterior capsule. The posterior oblique ligament resists tibial internal rotation at full knee extension. The posterior oblique ligament is also the secondary restraint to valgus stress. Moving on to the dynamic stabilizers of the medial knee, the one to know is the semimembranosus complex, which consists of five attachments: the vastus medialis, the medial retinaculum, and the pes anserine muscle group, which includes the sartorius, semitendinosus, and gracilis. Now, let's talk about the classification of MCL knee injuries. The ones to know include the American Medical Association, or AMA, classification and the Houston modification of the AMA classification. So the AMA classification is based on joint laxity alone, and it was described in 1966. This is measured with valgus stress applied with the knee in 30 degrees of flexion and graded by the amount of medial joint line opening. Less than 3 millimeters is considered physiologic laxity. Keep in mind that this classification caused confusion and difficulty comparing treatment results. The AMA classification consisted of three grades, where grade 1 corresponded to 3 to 5 millimeters of laxity, grade 2 corresponded to 6 to 10 millimeters of laxity, and grade 3 corresponded to greater than 10 millimeters of laxity. Moving on to the Houston modification of the AMA classification, this is based on joint laxity and injury severity. The severity is graded by the extent of tenderness and quality of the endpoint with valgus stress at 30 degrees of knee flexion. This classification is often referred to as the, quote, degree of injury. The Houston modification of the AMA classification is also divided into three grades. Grade 1 is considered mild and a first-degree injury and is characterized with a firm endpoint with no joint laxity. Grade 1 injuries are typically stretch injuries or a few MCL fibers are torn. There is no significant loss of ligament integrity. Grade 2 corresponds to a moderate or second-degree injury and will be an incomplete/partial MCL tear. Grade 2 is characterized with a firm endpoint plus or minus mild increase in joint laxity. There may be some MCL fibers that remain intact, generating the firm endpoint. Finally, grade 3 is a severe or third-degree injury and is characterized by a complete MCL tear. These patients will have no endpoint with valgus stress. Keep in mind that increased joint laxity is subdivided by the degree of joint laxity. That is, grade 1 plus corresponds to 3 to 5 millimeters, grade 2 plus corresponds to 6 to 10 millimeters, and grade 3 plus corresponds to greater than 10 millimeters. Now, let's talk about the presentation of MCL knee injuries. As far as history, patients will typically report a pop at the time of injury. Symptoms include medial joint line pain and difficulty ambulating due to pain or instability. On physical exam, inspection, and palpation may reveal tenderness along the medial aspect of the knee, ecchymosis, and knee effusion. As far as range of motion and stability, valgus stress testing should be done at 30 degrees of knee flexion. This isolates the superficial MCL. Keep in mind that medial gapping as compared to the opposite knee indicates grade of injury. So 1 to 4 millimeters corresponds to grade 1, 5 to 9 millimeters corresponds to grade 2, and greater than or equal to 10 millimeters corresponds to grade 3. As far as valgus stressing at 0 degrees of knee extension, medial laxity with valgus stress indicates posteromedial capsule or cruciate ligament injury. On neurovascular exam, be sure to test the saphenous nerve. Also, be sure to evaluate for additional injuries like ACL or PCL tear, patellar dislocation, and a medial meniscal tear. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and a lateral of the knee. As far as optional views, stress radiographs can be done in a skeletally immature patient, which may indicate gapping through a physeal fracture. Findings are usually normal on radiographs, however, you may find calcification at the medial femoral insertion site in the setting of chronic MCL deficiency, otherwise known as Pellegrini-Staita syndrome. An MRI is the modality of choice for MCL injuries. This modality identifies the location and extent of injury and is useful for evaluating other injuries. Treatment of MCL knee injuries can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes NSAIDs, rest, and therapy, which is indicated for grade 1 MCL injuries. Therapy should include quad sets, straight leg raises, and hip adduction above the knee to begin immediately. Cycling and progressive resistance exercises should be done as tolerated. As far as return to play, grade 1 MCL injuries may return to play at 5 to 7 days. As far as bracing, NSAIDs, rest, and therapy as other non-operative modalities, this may be indicated for grade 2 MCL injuries or even grade 3 if it's stable to valgus stress and full extension and there is no associated cruciate injury. Patients may be given an immobilizer for comfort or a hinge knee brace for ambulation. As far as return to play, grade 2 MCL injuries return to play at 2 to 4 weeks and grade 3 MCL injuries return to play at 4 to 8 weeks. As far as outcomes of non-operative management, Keep in mind that distal MCL injuries have less healing potential than proximal injuries. Operative options for MCL injuries include ligament repair versus reconstruction, which have relative indications. Acute repair in grade 3 injuries may be indicated in the setting of a multi-ligament knee injury. Another relative indication is displaced distal avulsions with a Stenner-type lesion, as well as entrapment of the torn end in the medial compartment. As far as subacute repair in grade 3 injuries, relative indications include continued instability despite non-operative treatment, that is greater than 10 millimeters of medial-sided opening in full extension. Finally, in terms of reconstruction, relative indications include chronic injury and loss of adequate tissue for repair. As far as the technique, diagnostic arthroscopy is recommended for all surgical candidates to rule out associated injuries. As far as prevention of MCL injuries, functional bracing may reduce MCL injury in football players, particularly interior linemen. Now, let's talk about MCL repair and MCL reconstruction in a bit more detail. So MCL repair will be approached through the medial approach to the knee. As we mentioned above, this may be relatively indicated for acute injuries. As far as the technique, in the setting of ligament avulsions, these should be reattached with suture anchors in 30 degrees of flexion. In the setting of interstitial disruption, there should be anterior advancement of the MCL to the femoral and tibial origins. Finally, another potential technique is an internal brace. Moving on to an MCL reconstruction, this is also approached through the medial approach to the knee. Indications include chronic instability and insufficient tissue for repair. As far as graft type, you can use a semitendinosus autograft or hamstring, tibialis anterior, or Achilles tendon allograft. Complications of MCL knee injuries include loss of motion, neurological injury specifically to the saphenous nerve, and laxity, which again is associated with distal MCL injuries. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic might be tested. First question. What type of medial collateral ligament tear heals the most reliably? And the choices are 1. Proximal, 2. Mid-substance, 3. Distal, 4. Associated with an anterior cruciate ligament tear, and 5. Associated with a posterior cruciate ligament tear. The correct answer to this question is 1. Proximal. So proximal MCL injuries adjacent to the medial epicondyle heal robustly. These proximal injuries are more prone to calcification, characterized clinically with temporarily increased pain and stiffness. The distal MCL, despite its long attachment site on the proximal tibia, heals less well. MCL injuries associated with other ligament injuries heal less reliably. Moving on to the next question. Prophylactic hinged knee bracing for contact athletes has shown a trend towards decreased rates for which types of injuries? And the choices are 1. ACL tears, 2. ACL and MCL tears, 3. ACL, MCL, and ankle ligament tears, 4. MCL and ankle ligament tears, and 5. MCL tears. Correct answer to this question is 5. MCL tears. So it is felt that prophylactic bracing may decrease the incidence and severity of MCL injuries. However, the data is not strong and some studies have failed to show any benefit. The literature does not show a clear risk reduction for ACL tears. There is no documented decrease in ankle injuries. In fact, there is some concern that as knee motion is restrained with bracing, the adjacent ankle joint may be subject to increased stress and possibly increased risk of injury. Albright et al., in a non-randomized study of college football players, noted a consistent but not statistically significant tendency for the players wearing preventative knee braces to experience a lower injury rate than for their unbraced counterparts. Najibi and Albright noted that preventative knee braces appear to offer some protection to the MCL from a contact injury involving a valgus blow. They cite the West Point randomized control study, which showed that unbraced athletes had a statistically higher injury rate at 3.4 over 1,000 exposures than their brace counterparts at 1.5 over 1,000 exposures, with the most significance for MCL sprains in defensive players. Pietro Simone et al. Performed a systematic review and found the results to be inconsistent. They concluded that the data cannot be used to advocate or discourage the use of prophylactic knee braces. And moving on to the final question. All of the following are true regarding grade 3 medial collateral ligament tears of the knee except. And the choices are 1. Proximal ruptures have decreased residual valgus laxity following non-operative treatment than distal ruptures. 2, they result in greater than 10 millimeters of valgus opening. 3, they can result in a stenotype lesion. 4, they require operative repair when there is a concomitant anterior cruciate ligament tear. And 5, proximal ruptures have better healing potential with non-operative treatment than distal ruptures. The correct answer to this question is 4, they require operative repair when there is a concomitant anterior cruciate ligament tear. So grade 3 indicates a complete rupture of the MCL with greater than 10 millimeters of opening on valgus stress. Careful evaluation is needed to evaluate for concomitant injuries such as medial meniscus and ACL tears. However, the presence of an ACL tear does not preclude non-operative treatment. Timing of ACL reconstruction with a concomitant MCL sprain should be delayed proportional to the extent of MCL damage. So for grade 1 injuries, timing of ACL reconstruction should be 3 to 4 weeks, for grade 2 injuries, 4 to 6 weeks, and grade 3 injuries, 6 to 8 weeks. According to Shelbourne et al., many surgeons recommend non-operative management of acute grade 3 MCL injuries occurring at the femoral origin or mid-substance and primary repair of injuries at the tibial origin. Perhaps because of better vascularity, proximal tears tend to heal better than distal ones. In contrast, distal ruptures may heal with excessive valgus instability and occasionally result in a stenotype lesion with a torn MCL flipped over the insertion of the pes anserinus where it's unable to heal normally. That's all for this review about MCL knee injuries. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.